Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day, and I'm really glad you're listening today. And the topic we're going to address, I will say this now, is not for younger listeners. So if you've got young children around, you want to get them busy doing something else. What we're talking about today is when a spouse or a loved one is struggling with sexual addiction. And when that's the case, it can feel like your whole world is falling apart. The questions run through your mind. Did I cause this? Is this something to do with me? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to react? We're going to talk with a woman who discovered that her husband's addiction to pornography was deeply impacting their life, how God brought her through a very tough journey. She is well-researched, so she'll have answers to questions. If at any time you want to chime into the conversation and you want to call anonymously, please feel free to do that, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or you can email me your questions as well, susie@myfaithradio.com. So as I said, this conversation in the next hour will not be suitable for younger ears, so just get them busy doing something else, and I think you're in for a very insightful hour. I just feel like this is such an important topic to address, especially in light of the Ashley Madison scandal and other things. Every which way we turn, you see people's lives being impacted by this digital age that we live in. So let me tell you about my guest. I have her in studio with me. I'll get her on the show. Vicki Titi is a Bible teacher, conference speaker, and author. Her passion is to open the scriptures with women in order to share God's grace and enduring faithfulness. Her books include Parenting on Your Knees, Prayers and Practical Guidance for Parents of Preschoolers, and the one we're unpacking today, When Your Husband is Addicted to Pornography, Healing Your Wounded Heart. She lives in Rochester, Minnesota. You can find her on the web at VickiTeedy.com. Vicki, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been ages since we've been together, so it's a great treat to see you again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
So, Vicki, we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. So your scripture that I'm going to ask you about doesn't necessarily have to connect to the topic today, and I just know you're a woman who loves God's word. Have you been camping on a particular passage that's been speaking to you these days?
I have. You know, this is one that's a life verse for me, and I have it written on my walls at home even. It's 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I think we're really familiar with this one, but we often don't slow down and really chew on it enough. It's really when Paul's talking to Jesus about the thorn, that his trial, his struggle, and Jesus says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul responds by saying, then he says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that your strength may rest on me." Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that passage. I mean, because we all have those times in our lives when life just knocks us on our knees, and all we can do is cry out to Jesus. And that assurance, that promise that he's enough, he's got this.
Yeah.
Daily sufficient grace.
It's amazing. When you think about it, too, we don't like our weaknesses. We hide them. I say this often, compensate, medicate, whatever we can do to get them out of our sight so we don't have to feel them or be in touch with them. And so often that is sort of the doorway then to so much addiction is weakness and undealt with weakness. And Jesus went ahead and made provision for our weakness to say, even in this place, you can see my strength come to bear. If you wouldn't be afraid of it, if you'd walk in the light with it, I could help you with that. And the enemy wants to keep us in the darkness because there's so much shame and bondage and captivity in the darkness. So if you don't mind, bring us back. And I just got to give a shout out to your husband, because this book titled When Your Husband is Addicted to Pornography isn't about her current husband. This is, the record needs to be stated. And he knew that maybe some would think that he's a respected man in his community, but he loved and supported you enough to want you to be able to tell this story
I mean, that's a man's man right there. Yeah. Just to come alongside you and say, no, write this book for the sake of many who struggled. I just want to give a shout out to him in that regard.
Well, thank you. Mike is an incredible man. And the irony is that he came up with the title.
Really?
And I said, are you sure about this? This may, you know, have some backsplash on you. And he said, yeah, because people need to know what they're getting. And this tells them what it is. Mm. So,
okay. So take us back to your first marriage and how things were before you knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. And take us into that story, if you would.
You know, it's so interesting because this really started 20 years ago. And if you think back 20 years where the internet was, we really didn't have any grasp of the power and the potential of what internet is today. This is back in the Katy Couric, you know, what's the little A with the circle around it question, you know, because nobody knew. So this was really a new thing. There weren't any books. Nobody was talking about pornography and addiction to pornography. And so this was all very, very new. I was, you know, newly married. I was living 1,000 miles away from Minnesota and 1,000 miles away from my family. Mm. We had a very pure engagement. And, so I didn't have any, you know, concerns going into it. But relatively quickly in the marriage, I discovered magazines that were very inappropriate. And I asked my husband what that was about, and he always had an explanation. He was always quick with a story. At the time, I believed him. I loved him, and I made a promise to trust him, and so I just kind of went along with it. But it became very apparent soon, I mean, even on our honeymoon, that he was not interested in intimacy with me. And I, you know, immediately thought something was wrong with me. And that didn't improve. And probably 3 months into the marriage, I went and visited with our pastor who had married us and said, what am I doing wrong? I mean, what is going on here? I don't understand this. And so he counseled me. He gave me some suggestions and nothing improved. And so I ended up seeing a Christian counselor. My husband refused to go. And I met with a counselor for the entire length of our marriage. And the addiction grew. I mean, at night, I would go to bed, and I'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be on the computer. Mm. And it just continued until I found file cabinets full of downloaded conversations he was having in chat rooms. He eventually took a trip to New York and met somebody out there and spent an entire week with that person. And there was a secret post office box where he was getting videos and, you know, back in the days of VHS tapes, I mean, he had all sorts of things and a lot of things hidden. And so there was just never any desire on his part to take responsibility, to repent, to have a restoration in our relationship, because he wasn't struggling. He was just doing it.
That's a big distinction. He wasn't struggling. He's just doing it. And imagine him just shrugging you off. You know, I have to do this because this, I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. But an Amber Alert just came across the news line, Ramsey, Minnesota, 2004 black Honda Civic. I'm trying to imagine this mom or this dad absolutely horrified at the thought of a missing child. Mm-hmm. I just feel like we have to do this. I'm sorry. I hope this is okay. But let's just pause and pray. And I want to say that again. They're looking for 2004 black Honda Civic. Father in heaven, I pray in Jesus' name that you would stop that car, that others around this car would see them, and that car would be stopped, and that child would be rescued before anything happens. Pray a calmness and a peace to come over this family. I pray for an alertness of the everybody around them who are looking for this child. I pray you bless our law enforcement as they're looking for this precious child and this car. I ask you to do what only you can do. Father, thwart the scheme of the enemy. Thwart the plan of this enemy before anything terrible happens, worse to this child. We pray, surround the situation with your mercy and grace. Roll up your sleeves and intervene in this situation and save this child in Jesus' name. And let's keep praying for this family till we hear what's happened. And thank you, Vicki, so much for letting me do that. My heart was kind of doing a pitter-patter there. So back to your story. So your whole marriage, how long were you married to this man?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. And from the get-go, you knew that there was something wrong. I mean, once you were married, it was, you know, intimacy. He was shrugging off your questions, and he was just blatantly doing this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
What were your other daily interactions with him like?
Well, you know, it was really interesting. He isolated us. We didn't have friends. Before I got married, I was involved in our singles group at church and very active there. But he isolated us. We didn't have anyone who we did anything with. He didn't want to go to family dinners with his family. We lived near them. So it was very, just very isolating. He didn't allow me to check the mail. He didn't want me answering the telephone. And And I think there was just a lot more to his story, more than I'm even in a position to be able to share, because it's his story. And I've just always, you know, protected that privacy of his. But it did get to the point where my pastor finally said, you know what, you're no longer safe physically, emotionally. I was being abused. What sexual intimacy there was abusive in nature. And so I think when you see enough terrible images and a lot of pornography is, you know, revolves around violence, that's then what you... that you have inside of you.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it truly, you feed on garbage. Garbage is going to come out. I want to know, for you, what were some of the lies that you believed and the fears? I mean, here you're a young married person and this is your reality. What were some of the things that ran through your mind and the struggles you had?
Yeah, I totally owned it. I felt completely responsible. I mean, I thought, I'm not attractive enough. I'm too heavy. I went on a diet. I lost a lot of weight. I'm not able to please him intimately, so there's something wrong there. And do I need to read books, or what am I supposed to do? I mean, I just didn't know. I really fell into a lot of what might be labeled codependent behaviors. I mean, I tried to fix things for him. I made his favorite meals. I wore the kinds of clothes he wanted me to wear. I did all kinds of things to try to please him. But it was like asking him to give me something that he absolutely didn't have and wasn't capable of giving. And I didn't understand that I couldn't change him.
Hmm. What did your loved ones, you know, observe in your life? People who loved you so much. I'm sure they saw you, the light sort of going out of your eyes. What did they say to you?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question, because honestly, by the end of our marriage, they will tell you that I was a fragment of who I am today and who I was before.
Wow.
That I was just almost unrecognizable. I'm a type A, phlegmatic, you know, like to be talking to people, social kind of person. And I just pulled in, and really until just before the marriage crumbled, finally, I didn't tell anybody. My family didn't know. My friends didn't know. I kept his secret because he, too, was someone in the community. He was well-known, well-respected, and I was trying to protect his reputation. And many people still don't know.
Now, I'm not asking you to give anything away, but how did it play out? Did it catch up with them? Or is this something that's still kind of in motion?
No, I think it probably is still in motion.
And the thing that's so scary about it, from what I understand, is it's not static, so to speak. It goes to deeper depths and does greater damage than we probably even know. We're going to pause. When we come back, I'm going to love for you to unpack what you do in your book about these different levels of addiction, maybe signs and symptoms that a spouse or loved one may be addicted, and just even the impact on the brain. I mean, there's science that proves that pornography changes the wiring of your brain. And this is not a condemnation. This is not shame hour. This is invitation to believe God for healing. And that's what Vicki's story is all about healing for the wounded heart. You've got questions. Now's the time to ask them. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email at Susie@myfaithradio.com. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And today's conversation is not suitable for young ears. Just want to say that at the outset. Got my friend Vicki Titi in studio. She's written a book titled When Your Husband is Addicted to Pornography, Healing Your Wounded Heart. And again, I want to make it really clear that this is not shame. This is not condemning. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a guy in this culture. I can't even imagine. And I know that the stats are showing that women are more and more becoming addicted as well. But as we said, even first hour, addiction is a parasite. It will damage you. And you think of what Scripture says, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So even though we're in a culture like we are, even though it is men are hardwired, so to speak, to be visual, to be visually stimulated. You don't shrug off an addiction like it's nothing or like it's normal, because it wreaks havoc. It does damage. And if you've got questions about how to identify so that you're not overreacting maybe to symptoms and things you see, maybe you're so afraid of it, you're seeing things that aren't there. And that's unnerving. I've heard from men who've called in and written the show before saying, I get treated like I'm doing something that I'm not, but it's so frustrating. So how do we not overreact to our fears, but how do we discern if something's going on? We welcome your questions. Feel free to call anonymously if you need to, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can ask Vicki a question. Want you to know, though, it's never too late. If you've got breath in your lungs, God can heal and redeem your story. He can, and she's living proof as someone who is married to somebody who is hugely a sexual addict, not married to him anymore. She's married to a godly man who supported her to write this book. Got an anonymous caller checking in, and I'll just hold the city and not mention that. Welcome. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I caught the tail end of your guys' conversation, and I felt called to call in and give a man's perspective. And I was on the other end of her marriage. I was married 7 years ago, and I was addicted to sex and pornography, and Christ has delivered me from that. And I wanted to just put on the point that my wife has felt the same feelings of inadequacy and something that it was wrong on her end, but it's not. And so I just want to let all the women know that are listening that God has made you in His image, and there's nothing that you're doing wrong or something about you. That a man loves you for God made you, and He made you in His image. And so I just we'll pray for them, and God can heal brokenness, and He heals brokenness. He healed my broken marriage. Thank God, my wife stayed with me after the darkness came to light. But I just want to say that and bring that to light, that you're made in God's image, and that He loves you, and He's your Heavenly Father.
What a dear man. Thank you. And you're also made in His image, and He makes all things new. And Vicki, did you want to say anything to him?
I do. Thank you. First of all, praise God for delivering you from this and for the hard work that you've done and no doubt continue to do. And I just so appreciate your words, because I do think that that's how most women feel. And at the same time, I think you would agree, sir, that most men, when they click on that pornography the first time, they have no intention of setting out to devastate or hurt their wife. They love their wife. That's not what causes them to push that button. It's not because she is inadequate or unloved. It's something else. And it's a false sense of intimacy, and it leads them down a path that can be incredibly destructive. But he didn't set out to hurt her, or it had nothing to do with the fact that she was lacking. And so I appreciate that you've shared that with the listeners.
I remember hearing from one woman whose husband was profoundly addicted to porn, and he did start to tell her, and this is a stunning woman, but he's picked apart her inadequacies physically, and it just devastated her. But it's like when you get these airbrushed images, it just warps your brain. I mean, right. You can imagine, and it devastated them, and their marriage ended as well. And, we've got a friend calling in from Fargo, and he's got a word for men, I believe. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. I wanted to share, and I shared a little bit with Grace, is that a porn addiction will lead often to many other addictions, alcohol, drugs, and other, because you get a high from porn, and then you think it's just not enough. You need something more and more. If a man is married to a woman and he's a Christian, there's a lot more help if he's in a good church that has a real men's group. And I mean by real is that other men will share that they also have a porn addiction, that men will see that they're not an island. And Satan loves to get men into an island, make them an island, and then the world, he'll just collapse the world around them.
Yeah.
But then when it's exposed and they realize that there are other men that are going through this, and then you're in this group, men will pray for men. And I belong to such a group up here in Fargo in the church I'm in. And it is it's so excited when not only men pray for men, but then when they're delivered from this. It is just so exciting to see this. And then when they share this also, and this is an intimate thing between men and women. Men, and there again at the island, is that if men can share this with women, with their wives, that way Satan does not continue to rip the marriage apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Tom.
I wanted to share.
Tom, bless you. Thanks for that call. What do you say, Vicki?
Oh, absolutely. You're so right, Tom. And I think that when you and when a husband and wife can communicate openly and regularly about the pornography use, that's mm-hmm. just such a tremendous thing. And I love that you said, you know, that he's taking obvious action steps here to, you know, you're in a real group that truly is holding you accountable, not just, you know, saying, oh, I struggled too and I had a bad week as well and brushing it off, but really holding your toes to the fire. And I believe and would suspect that you've been encouraged to do these things too, but utilizing filtering software and accountability software, meeting with trusted, mature Christian men, and they have to be all of those things. You need to trust them. They need to be mature in their faith. They need to be Christian. And men need to be talking to other men.
And like Tom said, the realness has to be there, because you can share whatever you want as far as you can present and keep things surface. But Tom's talking about gut-level honesty for the purpose of freedom, right?
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And you know what? I'm not an expert in the care for, you know, men in this situation. I'm so glad Tom has found this and the gentleman mm-hmm. that called before. But what isn't as easy to find is a group for women. And that's a much harder thing. That's what led me to write this book, because there, you know, men can find this fabulous group at church, but I would wonder, does his church also offer a group for the wives? Because very often when the men finally are able to be honest with another group of people and say, this is my struggle, and their wife is now aware of it, it feels like an albatross around her neck that she's still now keeping a secret. She wants to protect his reputation. She doesn't feel like she has someone safe to talk to always. And so that's really something that I encourage churches in particular to consider. If you're offering a men's group, you need to offer a group for the spouse, you know, for the wives too. That's so, so very important, because he can work on his stuff, but his choices have had ramifications that have splashed all over her. And some of it is these hard feelings and things that she has, but there are also a lot of losses she's experienced and that she needs to grieve, you know, the expectations and maybe even financial security and jobs. Men lose their jobs all the time because of these choices. And so there are a lot of things that women need to wrestle down at the foot of the cross themselves, and work that they have to do as well.
And you can imagine the burden that they must feel, that they have to keep his secret, because maybe he does have a name in the community or even not, but in the shame associated with that somehow. And so if the man is willing to come clean and get the help, you're so right that women need that same kind of support. What a great idea. Pastors, if you're listening, maybe that's something to prayerfully consider, because I think it would be a lifeline for other women so that they too know that they're not alone. Anonymous and Tom, thanks for calling and for your courage just to share what you've shared. 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, I'd love to ask you more about this Ashley Madison scandal. I only know a little bit about it, but there were lots of pastors listed on that site, which is horrifying when you think about it. But this is the day we're in. More with Vicki Tiede when we come back. Maybe that's where you are right now. You don't know how you're going to get through what you're walking through, but the next thing to do is just take the next step. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really honored to have my friend Vicki Tiede in studio today. And we're talking about when your husband, and maybe it's your wife, but more often than not, I think it is the husband, is addicted to pornography, is maybe has gone morphed into something that even is a deeper sexual addiction. As I mentioned at the outset of the show, this conversation is not for young ears. So if you've got little ones listening, maybe I want to get them busy doing something else. We'd love to take your questions. You can call anonymously. This is a prevalent problem. You are not alone if you're a man who battles this addiction, you're not alone. If you're a wife who's brokenhearted over your husband's addiction, you are not alone. And I think Vicki has some well-researched advice to offer today to either one of you, right? 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous friend checking in from Orlando, Florida. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being on this program. It's really a big issue, and mm-hmm. I appreciate it very much. Mm. Just a little backstory. My husband and I separated many years ago for a period of time because of pornography and him reaching out and trying to connect with other people and things like that. I never really got, you know, I feel like I've never gotten the full story, but at the same time, I trusted God. I really felt like God spoke to me and told me, you know, to stay with him and try and work through it. And so I did. And recently it was discovered that he was back into it a little bit again. Mm. So, of course, my heart is ripped back open completely. And so, you know, all old feelings and everything. So anyways, my question is, how exactly can I move forward? I feel God's peace when I pray about it, but at the same time, you know, he's super technologically advanced. You know, he's smart. I know he's working on it. And he says he wants to work. You know, he wants to stop and all that kind of stuff. But how do I ever trust him again? You know, like, how does that happen?
You know, that is such a good question. And friend, I'm just so sorry. And I see Vicki over here nodding like this is not the first time she's heard this story. What do you say, Vicki, to our friend?
Yeah, I'm so glad you called in. You know what? First of all, I'm sorry, too, that you are having to walk this path. And I hope you heard what the last caller said, too, that this is not about you. And the fact that you're revisiting this is because it is an addiction. And I'm almost suspect when I hear someone say they were miraculously delivered and it's never been an issue. And I mean, praise God if that really happens, but I think that's rare. I think it's more common to experience what you're experiencing, that it will come back sometimes. And sometimes it's not a full blown, headlong trip down that addiction lane again, but a slip, just a slight lapse in progress. And maybe they strayed too long on a channel, or maybe they have stepped further into it than that. And I don't know where your husband is on this. I do hope you will pick up my book, because this is who the book is for, is for all of the women like you, and I was there too, who are looking for hope and who are looking for healing for your wounded heart on this journey. One of the things that I would encourage you to do that really was helpful for me is to cling to Philippians 4. 8-9, and it's very familiar, but there's a certain part of it. It's the passage that talks about whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Here's the part that I want you to cling to. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And my challenge to you is to apply that to your husband, to really focus on and ask God to show you at least one thing about your husband that is excellent and praiseworthy. Mm. And just, you know, it can be the most minute thing in your mind, but if there is something that you can recognize, and don't keep that to yourself, but share that with him. He right now needs you to be his number one cheerleader and to be his encourager. And it would be easy to beat him over the head with this. Because you probably have figured this out, you can't fix this for him. He's going to have to own it, and he's going to have to do the hard work. And you can work on your heart and the repair work at the foot of the cross, because Jesus is the healer, and he is the one who will restore your heart, and God willing, your husband's heart, and then your marriage. And I assume you guys are still together, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Any further questions,
only
honey?
Because of God, you know.
Yeah, yes. Oh, you are just such a dear. And I don't know if you've seen War Room, but as Vicki's talking, I'm thinking of Priscilla Shire's character rising up and telling that devil where to go. Have you seen the movie yet, The War Room?
I haven't. I really wanted to.
Oh, but you know, it should be out in DVD shortly. I mean, you got to get it. It'll put your game on. You know what I'm saying? You'll start to get the fight in you to say, you know what, devil, you cannot have my marriage. You cannot have my husband. And I just think when we start to fight from that place and we put mm-hmm. that cross of Jesus Christ between your husband and any scheme to rip him off and rip you off, mm-hmm. I just think you'll start to pray from a place of victory. And I just pray that you get some girlfriends around you to help you stand too. But thank you, honey, for calling. And
I'd like to say one more thing, too. You know, you asked how are you ever going to trust again, and let me tell you that trust takes the longest. You will likely be able to forgive before you can fully trust, and it's going to be every minute of trustworthy behavior that you see that will cause that trust to grow. And actually, in my book, trust is almost at the very end, just for that reason, because it takes a long time and you have to do a lot of hard work before you can fully trust. And honestly, before you can forgive in a way that you really can let it go and not bring it back and beat him up with it. That takes time.
So I'm going to make sure, if you don't mind, give Grace your address. And I'm pretty sure we've got a few copies of Vicki's book coming to the station. So we're going to get you a copy one way or the other, right? And you'll get a copy, and I think it'll be encouraging. And maybe you can even walk through some of it with your hubby, because there's great content there, hon. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear one. What a dear heart. I mean, hanging in there like that and just pressing on and pressing in. Absolutely amazing. So, Vicki, how often does internet, porn usage morph into porn addiction?
That's a great question. You know what? I think that the professionals in this area would say, if you're getting on once in a while and you're just looking at it now and then, that is not a full-blown addiction. It, by definition, addiction is affecting your every single daily life.
You can't not do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that the people who actually were involved in the whole Ashley Madison scandal, though, would tell you that they had no idea that the first time they clicked on pornography, that it would lead to that.
And for those who don't know what the Ashley Madison scandal, I don't know a ton about it, but the little I learned about it made me gasp out loud. So talk about what this Ashley Madison website was all about.
You know, this website, their tagline says it all. Their tagline is something to the effect, "Life is short, have an affair."
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Exactly.
Wow. And so this was almost like a match website to match you up with somebody that you could have an illicit affair with, and they promised privacy.
Yes.
How convenient.
In theory. Well, and here's how ridiculous. Nothing on the internet is a secret. Nothing. If you put something online, eventually it will come out. There's always a fingerprint there, right? And, 30 million people had signed up for this website. And interestingly, the lion's share of those were men. In the beginning, they were saying there were about 12 to 20% were women, but it has since come to light the majority of those were fake accounts set up by Ashley Madison so that the men would think there was actually women to engage with. And in fact, that wasn't the case. The thing that I think we have to step back and look at in this situation, first of all, is the good news. And I think there's incredibly good news is that this came to light. And that was God's plan.
I mean, and you said 30 million people signed up to have an affair.
30 million.
Wow. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. Daniel 2:22 says, "He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him." And when dark things like this come to light, that's where God does his work. Mm-hmm. That's when he can free people from captivity. Mm-hmm. And trust me, the Christian men, the many pastors that you make reference to who were involved in this, there are a lot of well-known people who have been connected, whose names were on the site. Did they actually have an affair? No, most of them did not. In fact, the majority of those 30 million never actually acted on it. They just signed up for the site. That in and of itself,
wow,
though, talks about the fact that that's where they were at. That's mm-hmm. where their mind was. They were willing. And so it's still a problem. But by God's grace, it never turned into anything beyond that. But the beauty is that those men were set free now, and by it coming to light, and perhaps they lost their jobs and their relationships are damaged. I mean, who has not heard about Josh Duggar's involvement in all of this? And I pray and have prayed for both he and his wife that at some point, if not already, they're able to say, "Thank you, Jesus, that this was exposed," because now we can stop. Now they can get the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
That before it was a secret and it was just continuing. I always tell women that they should be so thankful when their husband is struggling with this addiction, because the majority of the world is just doing it. And
make that distinction, because that's huge. The guy that's flippantly going, "What? I'm doing this." And the guy that hates himself for it, who's a godly man, who crawls out of the ditch every single time and sobs and says, "I don't want to do this." And then he finds himself. I would even think God's posture towards these two activities would be, two people would be different, because he draws near to the humble. I mean, make that distinction for us between the guy who is struggling and wrestling and the guy who's not.
Absolutely. Well, the media and our secular society would have us think this isn't a big deal and that everybody does it. And there is a huge number of people who do. I mean, right now the statistics say that 66% of young men and 16% of young women are looking at porn at least once a week. And so many people are just engaging in it, and they don't see anything wrong, and they don't realize that the ramifications for themselves and for their future relationships or their existing relationships are going to be devastated because of their choice. But the person who, you know what, the Holy Spirit will always do his job. And if you have received Christ, and so I'm speaking here specifically to born-again believers who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, and the Holy Spirit resides in them, he will always do his job, and he will convict you of wrongdoing and sin. And that's where that shame comes in, and that's why it is such a secretive, you know, thing. And so I'm so thankful when there is a struggle and they have a desire and they try, even if they slip. If it's two steps forward and one step back, as long as they are continuing that forward motion with their eyes fully fixed on Christ, who is the one who will show them the way and who can and will, you know, restore them from this.
When you talked about the ramifications, you know, I'd read somewhere that that viewing porn actually changes your brain wiring and the brain science even. I mean, it does something that's because it's so unnatural. I don't know if you know about that, if you could speak to that. But what are some of the other ramifications on a person's life and their relationships from viewing porn?
Right. So I don't understand a lot about the chemical stuff. Covenant Eyes has fabulous information on that part of it. Men are wired to be visually stimulated, and so when they are presented with opportunities all the time, they go to work, they see a woman's cleavage, someone's wearing short shorts or too tight of pants or whatever, and they it's not that they want to be stimulated by that, but they are. They're wired that way, and they have to make a choice. They can choose to look away or think of something else, and if they don't make that choice, then they feed that. Mm-hmm. And there is a chemical release that happens that, you know, causes endorphins to go crazy, and they like that, and they want more of that, and they can continue down that path. So, yes, there's a huge brain thing that can happen. But beyond that, I mean, 56% of all divorces right now involve someone who has an obsessive compulsion with pornography. 56% of all divorces. That's
wow.
Incredible. The number of people who lose their jobs is astronomical. And I hear it over and over again that husbands are losing their jobs because of their choices. They do it at work and they get caught. And, you know, bigger employers especially have filters on there and they're watching to see who's doing those sorts of things. So you experience financial loss. They lose their job, security in your home. You know, your children are exposed to it. If you're bringing it into your house, you've got all kinds of garbage on your computer, all of a sudden pop-ups are coming up that children don't need to see. Mm-hmm. As it is, the pornographers are seeking our children. But if we're bringing it into the house, then we can't point the finger at the pornographers.
And, you know, just one word to women. I mean, I like cute, funky clothes as much as the next gal. But I just don't think we know what we're doing to these guys who are fighting and wrestling and struggling and trying to stay pure. And we travel all over the country. And once in a while, you see, you know, girls on the platform, worship leaders, and they're not wearing pants. They're wearing leggings, which really are like nylons with a T-shirt that just goes over their rump. And I'm like, you're up there in your jammies. And how is this supposed to be okay? I mean, I just, because I raised three sons. I feel so deeply for the guys who like want to do this right. And we got to own some of that, because when you see girls dressing kind of promiscuously as Christians, and then you're creating a wave as you walk through the foyer and all these guys are turning while they're with their wives and kids, some of that's on you, and
absolutely,
we got to deal with that. I mean, we really got to own some of this, because this is the culture that we're in right now, so it cannot be all on the guy in that regard, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Vicki has an online support group for women, so if you don't have a support group in your church, your local church, they're in the process of one right now, but they've got one starting up January 5th. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and just more advice for that person who's nursing a wounded heart if their spouse is addicted to porn. When we come back, more with Vicki Teedy.
Yeah.
not give up hope. There's always hope. God can turn it into something beautiful. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. As I mentioned, I just need to say this again if you just tuned in. This conversation is not suited for young ears. Talking about when your spouse is addicted to porn, and the majority of spouses are men who are addicted to porn, although the number of women is growing and increasing as we go here. I've got my friend Vicky Teedy in studio, and I told her off during the break that next time I have to get her in for both hours because we literally are scratching the surface of the content from her great book, When Your Husband is Addicted to Pornography, Healing Your Wounded Heart. And I think our couple copies went out the door. I want to read this quote from your book, Vicky, and we're going to talk about this upcoming online support group that women can get engaged with you. It's normal to feel like you're on a wild roller coaster ride. One moment you're heartbroken and in tears. The next instant you find yourself flying into a rage unlike anything you've ever experienced in your life. Some stages will last a long time, while others may barely register as a blip on the radar. Unfortunately, just because you've experienced one stage or emotion doesn't mean you get to check it off and never visit it again. It's very likely that you'll revisit some stages and emotions several times. But hear this, this journey will not last forever. If you allow yourself to fully enter into the grieving process and wade through the river of suffering, you'll eventually climb out on the opposite bank and discover the beauty of a new normal. What a visual. If you allow yourself to fully enter into the grieving process, wade through the river of suffering, you'll eventually climb out on the opposite bank and discover the beauty of a new normal. Mm-hmm. And that's true for you. And you said something during the break that I thought was interesting as you're talking about this online community you formed, because so few churches, they might have support groups for guys. But what about the wives who are dealing with the backlash of this? Your next online support group starts January 5th, but it's not just one particular slice of demographic that you're ministering to here. So say a word about that.
You know what? We have women from every demographic. I mean, that's the thing about pornography, and it's the victims, actually, of the pornography. So we have women who might be dating, and they're not married, but they know that the man they're dating is looking at pornography, which we have to almost assume is most men. I mean, that's just an assumption we can make these days. I have a lot of young women who participate who are just married and having babies, or maybe they have school-age kids. And then, you know, right now our group that's going through this, all of them have been with their husbands for at least 20 years.
Hmm.
But then we also have, it seems like every session, we have a few women who are no longer married. Their marriage has already crumbled because of the pornography and perhaps the progression that took it down an even, you know, more addictive path. And as a result, they're no longer married, and yet they're still carrying that brokenness. And it's just so incredibly important for their own well-being to deal with that, to deal with that brokenness, whether they've been recently divorced or divorced, you know, a number of years. And then I've also had women who have not dealt with it and have remarried. And now they're coming back saying, wow, this is coming into my marriage now, all of the trust issues that I had from the first marriage. So it's just there's nothing takes you out of the game. You are, you know, if at any point in your life experience this has been your story, then you're qualified, sadly, for this group.
And you even said a couple of the gals' husbands are in prison because that's where their porn addiction took them.
Yeah, yeah, where they are going to be gone for 5, 10, or
wow.
more years.
And we know you said that, you know, to go from porn usage to addiction, porn usage is just sort of occasional looking, not to say that that's without harm. I mean, it impacts still the brain science. It impacts your relationships. It's a gateway sin that's really exposing you to a very slippery slope, but it morphs into an addiction. Once it morphs into an addiction, how often I can't imagine that it stays static. How often does it then progress to the more dangerous levels of involvement?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's like anything, any gateway sort of thing. You know, if you get to the point where you believe you're enjoying filet mignon every day of the week, pretty soon even the reward of that is going to, you know, disappear, and filet mignon is no longer good enough. So likewise, you know, you may start just looking at pornography, and pretty soon you're looking at things that are, you know, more risque. But it's not long before people start tampering because it just doesn't give them the same charge, the same chemical reaction. And so I think it's very often that it starts moving into live, you know, sorts of sexual fulfillment, and eventually it can go into criminal behavior. And that's where some of these women sadly have end up, where their husband's looking at perhaps child pornography, or they've, you know, connected with prostitutes and raped someone. I mean, it's pretty horrific where this can go. This is not something that you say, oh, it's a good old boy thing, all the guys do it, and we need to just let it go. Boys will be boys. No, I mean, this is something that always needs to be addressed.
I remember meeting a woman who flippantly said, I know he uses it a lot. I know he does it a lot. And that's what she said. Boys will be boys. It doesn't bother me. And I thought, how can it not bother you? Seriously. And how, you've got to know that this is destroying you and him. And they had a daughter. And I couldn't, but you couldn't. She just like, I don't care. I just don't care. Now, you can't really get to a situation like that if, you know, but what would you say to maybe somebody who's engaged to somebody who struggles? Would you say across the board, pause, halt? What would
yes.
you say?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I would say you need to be asking some hard questions. There's a great book that, in fact, I just read it yesterday. It's a newer release called Porn and Your Boyfriend. And it's a fast read, but I highly recommend it if you are in a dating relationship or considering a dating relationship as a single woman. I think it's worth a read. And I think her counsel is good. You know, we have to almost assume that a lot of the young men are doing it because the research shows us that. Mm. So you may not want to ask that question right out of the gate. Do you look at pornography? Because they're probably going to lie. That's, you're putting them in a hot spot. So she kind of gives a lineup of when to ask the questions, but how to ask it in such a way that you're not putting them on the defense and in a position to try to be more secretive, because let's face it, this addiction is shrouded in secrecy and shame. And so most guys are not going to say, yes, I do. Mm. So I think that, but if you're to the point of getting engaged and considering a lifetime with this person, you need to stop the truck and you need to ask very hard questions. And if there's a history of pornography, you know, exposure at all, you want to know. And you want to know, how do you handle when you're, you know, exposed to images on the internet or people who are dressed inappropriately? How do you handle that? Let's talk about these things.
And if he's defensive, that would be the first major red flag to say, this needs to.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And right. You know what? I think when someone wants to be trusted, they're willing to be held up to standards that are trustworthy, and they're willing to do the hard things. They're not going to argue and say, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. They want to be trusted.
So this is what I'm going to ask you to do, because this time just flew right by, is email me your questions that we didn't answer today, because we're going to get Vicki back, Lord willing, and ask her to make the trek. We can have you on the phone if you don't want to make the trip. But next time, if you come to town, let's do lunch. How about that?
I would love that.
But email me your questions, things we didn't maybe cover. Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll set them aside and save them for next month, Lord willing, when Vicki comes back. Would you pray for that brokenhearted mama wife today who's just, that trust thing is killing her, and her heart is broken? This is not what she thought her life would be. Would you pray for her?
I would. Father God, I know that you long to meet these women in the center of their pain, and I know you can handle their tears. You know their anger. You understand their feelings that they're experiencing, because you are a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. I invite these women to step into your embrace as they face their Golgotha and as the sin has been unveiled. And I pray that you would continue to reveal grace, Lord, and truth and hope as you lead them into their Father's presence, and as you pick up the pieces of their broken heart and create a new heart for these women, and that they would just lean into you, and that you would go before them as they walk this journey. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Vicki, I can't thank you enough for tackling a tough topic and doing it so well. Thank you for taking time with us today.
Thank you.
The title of her book, again, is When Your Husband is Addicted to Pornography, Healing Your Wounded Heart.
I will follow.
I sure hope today's show was encouraging and insightful for you. Really felt like it was important to cover this topic since it's so prevalent. Love to hear your comments and your thoughts. God bless you. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He invites you to start again. So start again. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast on our website, myfaithradio.com. Have a blessed day. We'll meet you back here next time.